Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
So everyone, we've got Chris White on stage, Jeremy Ambler, Gregory French, and of course, artist Rusty Gilligan. How are you guys doing today?
Very well.
You don't like big money.
So,
but there's, okay, we'll make it work.
So everyone knows Rusty was a artist on storyboard artist on the show.
Production artist on season one, and then I worked on the card set.
Yes, and then the rest of you guys all played walkers on the show, and so we'll just go around. We'll start with on the end here. What was your experience like working on the show?
What was my experience like working on the show? It's always an adventure. You never know what you're going to get from day to day on the show. I've been on season 3 through 6 and played several walkers, but it's cool because you show up at work and you never know how you're going to die or how you once lived and are now dead. So it's always an adventure.
So you're dying twice for TV.
Dying to entertain you.
Yes.
I just said that.
Jeremy?
Okay, so I was in season 2, episodes 1 and 13, and, you know, as far as The Walking Dead, I'm best remembered as the co-leader of the Highway Walkers. You know, when Dale's RV breaks down the highway, you know, and Tito gets his arm cut on the door, Shane and Glenn are underneath the water truck, all that crazy stuff, you know, right before Sophia goes missing, you know, and right, you know, and of course that's when we had all the original cast members and everything. But I was also in episode 13 of season 2. I was shot in the head by Jimmy, played by James Allen McCoon. That's now in the Blair Witch, the new Blair Witch movie. So that's basically what I done on Walking Dead. And they used me for about 95% of your Walking Dead merchandise. T-shirts, hats, trading cards, board games, belts, wallets, all kinds of different stuff. Pinball machines. So... yeah, I mean, it never ends as far as the merch goes. So
how does it feel to see your picture as a zombie plastered everywhere?
Well, you know, the first time that I ever saw myself on anything was a T-shirt. And I'm like, this is really, really awesome because, you know, they never tell us what they're going to do with any of the pictures or anything that we, you know, that is taken on set as far as the photo shoot that I did. For that, you know, for the Highway Walker character, you really never know. You never know. I mean, it's this countless, endless stuff that they put me on, and it's really cool, to see all that, especially on the pinball machine. Like, I want a pinball machine so bad. So.
And how about you, Chris?
I played on season 4, episode 6 and 13. I played inside the, I guess it was a nursing home or a governor. He was coming in to get a few air tanks, and I popped out on him from around the corner and chased him down the hallway. I mean, I just think it was to something work on something big like The Walking Dead. It's definitely an experience. It was fun. I was always into horror, young, and as I get older... you know, it's a dream. I mean, it was a dream to be on one of that show, and I got to it, and
cool.
Here we are now.
And Rusty, what about your experience?
Can you hear me, actually?
Yeah.
Okay, good. My experience was a little different than these guys. They're stars, in my opinion. They're the ones to be looked up at, and I'm the lowly one at the bottom looking up at them. They got to do the makeup and they got to be on the set. You know, from my experience, as an artist doing production work, we'll draw the characters. Like, for example, at this show that we're at now, I drew the three of them for the trading card set that they put out, the promo cards. I'll do certain things like that. Production art, it's not like storyboarding where you plan out scenes. Production art is more designing the characters, designing the look of the characters, designing them in motion. It's more like I'll take one person, do them as a coloring book image, and they'll say, oh, they'll look good in a gray top. Oh, let's try it as a red top. Okay, that's it, red top. And then blah, blah, blah. And they'll use cutouts of them and place them against pictures and do basically production. And it helps different people from the wardrobe department all the way up to the directors and the producers. A lot of times my artwork will wind up on, like, trading cards, promo stuff, on and on and on. A lot of my stuff goes in the can, though. But it's the aid of it. When I worked on the Spider-Man 2 movie, I did over 150 drawings, and only three of them were accepted. So that gives you an idea of, you know, that gives you an idea. But my experience is totally different. They got to be on the set. Let's meet the guy. Let's listen to the producer. Let's get lunch. Blah, blah, blah. Mine was like, I'm in my pajamas. It's 9 a.m. I turn on the news. Let's draw a couple of zombies. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll go to the refrigerator and get, you know, last night's barbecue ribs. You know, and then after a few Star Trek episodes, I think I'm going to apply myself and do another drawing. So,
Gregory, we were talking earlier about some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens, where you guys are not just actors, you're stuntmen on the show. And sometimes you have to do things over and over again. So what's that like?
Yeah, so what a lot of people that watch it don't realize is that when you see us, like, get shot in the head and we fall, what you're seeing is the result of probably 15 to 20 different times that we've done that exact same scene from every single angle. So it's a very painful job because we fall a lot. Like, for every fall you see, we've already done 20. And if you fall on a rock your first time, you have to keep falling on that same rock, and you're bruised and battered and just beat up completely. And it's amazing and it's fun. Yes.
Have any of you guys gotten hurt doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I got a story with that. It's interesting that you mentioned that. I almost did get hurt. It was the episode, of course, the finale of season two, when I was the farm hearwalker, is what they called me on The Talking Dead. But when Jimmy shot me, there was a wardrobe. It was kind of a wardrobe issue because the pants that they gave me did not fit properly, and they were supposed to pin them up in the back with the safety pin. Well, I took it upon myself to safety pin them up myself. Well, me not being able to see what was going on, I thought I had it fully safety pinned. So when I did the first, you know, drop backwards, you know, when he shot me for the show, the safety pin came loose. And I could feel like it, I mean, it almost pierced the skin almost. Like, it was very, very close. But it definitely, I was tired that night. We shot that. It was 20 degrees. And, I mean, it was very, very close of entering the skin. But I jumped up there and I was like, I hope it didn't go through. But luckily, it was very, very close of going all the way in the skin.
I thought you were going such a total different direction with that. I thought you were going to lose your pants on set.
No. No. So, that's only, I mean, and you know, of course, like Greg said, you know, all the constantly falling backwards and stuff. I know that there was rocks out there at the farm and stuff, so you had to be really, really careful. You know, always look behind you before you fall, because if you hit your head on a rock, that's it. You know, you're done for. So, yeah, I never had any of that, but.
Yeah, so where we film in Georgia, there's fire ants.
Yeah.
And so if you miss your mark and fall on a fire ant mound, and you're supposed to lay there and, you know, be dead until the scene stops shooting. You have to lay there and just be bitten by hundreds of fire ants. It's never happened to me, but I know one of the walkers that it did happen to, and it was horrible. It was bad time for him.
For me, Walking Dead, I wasn't at any risk of getting injured because I unfortunately didn't get killed. I'm still alive and dead on the show somewhere. But on other zombie films that I've worked on, I've been hurt falling, like they said, 400 times for one shoot on a rock or a tree stump. Isn't exactly exciting. You know?
No.
But for that show, no. The worst thing I had was probably my eyes were tired from the sclera full eye lenses that you use.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a pain, but other than that, no. No dangers.
I have an injury story. Don't discredit me just because I'm not one of the big stars here.
Rusty, oh, let's hear this.
I got a paper cut when I was working on the artwork. And one time, and this is the scariest thing you're ever going to hear, I went to pick up my cup of tea, and I picked up a cup of wash water from the paint. And I drank it, and I wound up spitting it all out, and I tripped over the cat on my way to the bathroom. I laid there for about a half hour, and I have to say, they're now teaching walkers how to do my moves in the show. It's an important facet. It's called Rusty Bounces.
Oh, so all that extra class was because of you?
Yeah.
So we have a good sized crowd here, and I'm sure some of these people have questions. So anyone who wants to ask a question is welcome to come up. That's why I'm down here. Anyone? Come on.
Through all those stories, I was calling it, the first thing he said about the pin, I'm like, oh God, I had that happen to me. Then what you said, and almost the same thing happened to me, and then even to what he said, I'm like, oh, painter, and my cat runs right under my feet.
You did not trip over the cat, I don't believe it.
No, you should meet my cat, Simba. Where's my mom? Where's, she's not standing right there. Yeah, she's right there.
Patricia Stemples.
Simba, I trip over Simba, right? He don't believe me that I didn't trip over my cat after accidentally drinking paint water.
There you go.
I told you. You ask any of my friends and family, I'd so do that.
Oh, yeah.
So the moral of the story is avoid the paint water. Is that what I'm understanding?
The meowing dead has now become...
The meowing dead.
The meowing sitting dead.
I'm feline it.
So, besides The Walking Dead, what are some of the other projects you guys have worked on?
I have a whole list. My newest thing coming out, I've got a small part in the new Spider-Man movie. I was the mayor's stunt double in Outcast, and I was in some... thing with what's the Jason Bateman thing that's filming now? Ozark. Had a small role in that. All these things are coming out soon. I don't know. I think July is... When's Spider-Man coming out, the new one? No idea. Anyway, whenever that... I think that's the next one, and then season two of Outcast. But you won't ever see me being a stunt guy. I'm like in the back being blown up and flying across, being thrown against the wall various ways.
Well, you know, for me, I've been in a bunch of stuff, a bunch of movies and shows, and I mean, I can name a few, and then some of the ones that's going to be coming out this year. Some of the movies that I've been in, James Franco's Child of God, I had a small part with the main character speaking part. Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay, The Road with Viggo Mortensen, Killing Lincoln, John Adams. All kinds of different stuff, but I've actually got a movie with Chris Evans and Octavia Spencer. It's called Gifted, and I play a meth addict in that, coming out of a courthouse with a tattoo, rotted teeth, a tank top, shirt, shorts, just looking like a thug, walking like a thug, So it's going to be a neat little quick scene in that it'll be out in theaters on April 7th, and then the new Night of the Living Dead Genesis, which of course I play a zombie in that, and a mental patient, which also has my fiance Jenny Hall. She plays my nurse in that, and then it'll be out in October, and then the Toxic Avenger mockumentary film called Toxic Tutu, and I play Sheriff Walker in that, which is kind of a throwback to the Walkers on, of course, The Walking Dead. So that's kind of what I've got lined up, and then a movie called What the Night Can Do with Joe Beth Williams, Stuart Margolin, Max Martini, and Mercedes Mason from Fear the Walking Dead. So I have a small part in that as well. So that's kind of what I've been up to, and some stuff coming out, and some stuff that you can currently watch as well. And so all kinds of cool stuff.
The last few things I worked on was House of Cards. Played a few episodes of that. Spent some good time there. I played a crazy guy in a mental hospital at Gotham. Mm-hmm. And a couple other ones. I did Zombie Killers that starred Billy Zane. I played a featured zombie with some glaring black eyes. And 6 Degrees of Hell, I like to plug, where I played a being called the Entity, which was a demon that possessed most of the stars and the other cast in the movie. And I played 5 other characters on top of that. You know, 6 Degrees of Hell, 6 characters, works out.
Cool.
Me, as an artist, I worked on the original heavy metal movie. I worked on Avengers 1, Spider-Man 2 and 3, the ones with Tobey Maguire, the best ones. I did work on The Walking Dead, and then as an actor, I was on Little House on the Prairie for a while, and I did the original Peach Dragon from Disney, and did a number of Saturday morning shows, and I'm going to be doing the voice for an animated feature coming up, and a video game coming up this year and the beginning of next year.
You're not allowed to tell us anything about them yet?
What's that?
You're not allowed to tell us anything about them yet? Names?
No. I would get in so much trouble.
Sounds like a Marvel thing.
Yeah. So once you sign an NDA, you sign it for life. You're messed up.
So a question I have for you three. You hear a lot of times about with the walkers, when they're in a prominent scene, they don't like to use the same actors again. Have you guys found that to be true? Like, this is a rumor that I've heard.
Well, as far as Walking Dead, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, for me, you know, I don't know. I mean, they used me for, like I say, a lot of that merchandise. And then, of course, me being in the famous highway scene. I mean, me and you, Chris, we haven't been back to do Walking Dead, but, you know, I mean, they still use me for the merch as far as me, but you never know. I mean, I hope to hopefully go back one day. You know, I ran into Greg Nicotero and said something to him about maybe possibly coming back at some point, and he said, you know, just tell him, you know, you ran into me, and see what they say, you know. So, but I try to stay in touch with the casting company and stuff. Because you never know. You never know when they'll say, well, yeah, come on, we need you. So there's always that glimmer of hope, I guess.
Well, Chris is still alive.
I mean, I was killed, like I say, that one time. But then, of course, with the Highway Walker stuff that I'm most well-known for, I didn't get killed at all on that. So
you're still alive.
So kind of, yeah, kind of, sort of, I guess.
Well, I hope to, the same thing. Hopefully one day my zombie can reappear and... as a different zombie, or the same one, which would be okay, too. You never know. It is a zombie apocalypse. So, maybe one day. If not, hey, it was fun while it was there.
Yeah, the thing is, they change, they use this so often, and all you have to do is change the clothes, and it's a whole different zombie. So, it's not like they're not using us because we're too recognizable or whatever.
Okay.
I think it's just there's so many people out there that want to do the job, so they rotate all of us through. So as far as like not being able to be on the show again after you get killed, I haven't heard that. It hasn't been my experience. I get killed. I've been killed a lot, and they just keep having me back or featured and then killed. Yeah.
Yeah, because you always hear. I don't know if you guys watch the Talking Dead, but Chris Hardwick is supposedly they've said to him a couple times, "Why don't you come down? We'll put you in makeup, put you in a scene." And he's always like, "No, I'm afraid people will recognize me and it'll take them out of the scene."
Yeah, if it's like a famous person in there, then people will be looking for that.
There's been a
I know
few.
They don't. They generally don't pick like well-known people, so they pick like Z-listers like us, Z for zombie. Yeah.
There's a list.
There is a list?
There's a list. There was some slightly named people from different shows.
Yeah.
And a guy.
Ian, yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy from Anthrax. Yep.
And then Hans Ward.
Yeah, there was a few.
Yeah, there's a few names.
And what's his name in the Army Tank with Rick? And
I think the thing is they just don't want to detract from the story because you're looking for this famous person out there.
So, do any of you guys read the book?
No. I mean, I've skipped through them. I mean, I've skipped through them, you know, I guess all of us have, you know, when we sign these events and different things. But as far as reading, no.
I have a few of the comics, but I skim through them every now and then to see what's up. But
I don't like the spoilers.
Yeah,
it's bad enough being on the show. We already know pretty much what's going to happen before it does. So being able to take a season off and watch it as a fan is really exciting for us because it's like you know all the big like everybody was all crazy when Herschel died, and you know I was like that was the big news. I was like, oh, I was there when that happened. Like 6 months, I've known it for 6 months. So you know my last big aha like moment was when Sophia came out of the barn. That was devastating to me, but I was on after that. I knew all the big spoilers and stuff, so it's nice to take some time off and be able to watch it as a fan. And I know the story doesn't follow the comics exactly, but still, it's I like to not know as much as I can not know.
Right. How much of the script do you guys see when you're on an episode?
How much of the script do we see?
Yeah.
We don't actually see the script. They tell us what we're going to do, okay. And then once they and if you're featured, you know, they tell you what your part is and what your action is going to be. But if there's like a big group of us or whatever, they'll have what's called story time before, where they read the scene and they go through all the lines, and you know, the director goes through all the or the director's PA, they'll go through and they'll read the scene for us, so we kind of know what's going on. They fill us in on what has happened up to this point. And then that kind of tells us where we're going and who we're supposed to be or who we were when we were alive or whatever. Or what the main action is that they're going to be doing. But as far as knowing any script, we generally don't.
Well, I guess you guys all sign NDAs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for like Greg said, yeah, we don't really know what's going on. They bring us in and then once we get out on set, they pretty much tell us what we're going to be doing, you know, if we're featured or what we're doing, you know. And we take it from there, and the rest is TV history, pretty much.
And then you keep that secret for all those months until it airs.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, when I worked on the finale of episode 13, I knew that Patricia and Jimmy was going to be dying, you know.
Right.
I mean, I was out there when it happened. But as far as, you know, telling anybody, we couldn't do that.
Rusty, do you have a question?
Yes. No, I have a funny story about you were saying about the comics, and you know, do you read the comics? I started working for the trading card company at the time, which was Cryptozoic, and they actually sent me artwork of the comic book, you know, the Kirkman book. And I'm looking at it, and I didn't like it. Like, I really didn't care for it because it was very scratchy. And they go, well, we want this to look realistic. So I actually redrew photos, key photo elements that were used, the original 10 cards. And they said, nah, this looks too much like the comic book. And I'm like, these are portraits like the cards for the show.
Right, right.
These are portraits. They don't look like the, you know, the scratchy art, or at least the non-detailed art. But they didn't like them. And then I wound up doing like 50 or 60 more, and then those were fine. But they wanted to keep the universes separate, the artwork separate. And it's funny because the stories are different. Obviously, they're much different.
Right.
But the artwork was so unusual in comparison. If you put one next to the other, it's like looking at a famous painting. And that, I'm talking about some of the sketch artists, too. They're like, it's like looking at famous paintings versus looking at, like, comic book panels or, like, advertising art panels. And but the funny thing was they didn't like anything that came down the pipe originally. They said it looked too much like the comic book. And it's funny because the show was based on the comic. So you would think that's exactly what they wanted since it was a million-seller book.
Right.
So.
Cool. So so I guess, you know, there's something that I don't need to hear from you anymore. something I guess we didn't ask this yet, but I guess I should have. Acting and stunt work, is this something you guys wanted to do when you were young? Is it something you pursued strongly in your whole careers?
Yeah, when I was in high school, I did all the musicals and plays and stuff that I could. Graduated and found like community theater and things like that. And I just kind of fell into it. You know, I kind of would take the opportunities that I could find and just do auditions. And I've been in a lot of commercials and stuff, and that led to being on screen and on the big sets and stuff as an extra, and then working my way up to all kinds of different featured parts and speaking parts. And then I got into the stunt world because I realized I was already going out there in my spare time and hurting myself for free. So, you know, why don't I take a few stunt training classes and learn how to get paid to hurt myself? And now here I am today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, growing up, I always wanted to, you know, be in acting and either play a monster or a zombie or something scary. You know, growing up, my influences and stuff were like the classic Universal monster movies, you know, your Dracula, your Frankenstein, your Wolfman, you know, your Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff type stuff, and just the classic monster stuff. But yeah, I mean, just like Greg said, you know, as far as stunts goes, I've did a few as well that comes along with the role. And yeah, I mean, you might as well get the money while you can, the extra money, you know. You're out there hurting yourself anyways on some of the stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I, you know, how I got into it, the whole acting thing, and just by, you know, basically finding casting calls and auditions and stuff like that, just staying after, you know, pretty much.
Right.
As much as you possibly can. You know, keep cementing for everything. Never, you know, once you go in for like a audition type thing, whether it be for a featured extra or a small speaking role or whatever it may be, you know, always go in prepared, you know, with your resume, your photo, and, you know, just, and whoever you're interviewing with, you know, be professional and show that you're really, really into it. And just go from there. And most of the time, I mean, from all my experiences and stuff, there, I always get something. In every interview, audition, whatever, there's always something, you know, there's always a role there that I ended up getting. So that's, you got to know what you're doing, I guess, pretty much.
Right.
Right, or something, right?
For me, I kind of... I always wanted to do it, but never thought it would be possible. But I just fell into it one day, and it was a short film that they're reshooting a take of the lottery, the short film lottery.
Okay, yeah.
So from there, I got there, and I got into, like, haunted house acting. Then I got into a few commercials, Zanga games for your phone, Zombie Swipe Out.
Okay.
And then I got into a whole bunch of other little shows as background and independent films for feature roles and speaking roles, stuff like that. And now I'm just just riding that wave and just doing what comes up. Music videos, different background and different shows and feature, and just hoofing it. See, you know, going in on myself. Right. Right?
The thing about that is, I don't think any of us, well, I don't know, can't speak for you guys, but I never really wanted to be like super ultra famous where I can't go anywhere and people, you know, without people hoarding me or whatever. I like being on set and watching the whole process come together and just being a small cog in this huge machine. And as long as you can stay steadily employed with small roles, you know, you think about it, like, of all the actors that are out there, and there's millions of actors out there, nobody knows their names, they're not famous, but they're still full-time actors, full-time, you know, entertainers in this industry. And then you have your big stars that everybody knows. And to me, it's the process and watching a scene being filmed and then seeing it 6 months later on the screen, you're like, oh, that's why they had the camera at that angle, and just the whole science behind it is amazing to me.
And I know, Rusty, you were sold in a slave labor when you were a child.
You don't want to hear about my past. It's too checkered. You can read about my past on the posters they hang up at the post office.
Note cards. So I'm sure you guys get asked this a lot. What advice would you give to someone, like a young person that wants to get into, you know, not necessarily acting, but maybe stunt work and, you know, background makeup stuff?
Go for it. Make it happen. Don't give up.
Well, you know, I've actually went in and talked to you know, children in schools and stuff, and you know, and you know, people, you know, the kids ask me, you know, what can I do to become an actor? And you know, I tell them this first off, and of course, I never did this, but what I tell them is that they local plays, theater type stuff, local theater is always a good start that can prepare you for film and television, and go from there basically.
Independence.
And independent film as well, but
it helps. You know.
Yeah, I mean anything, any kind of acting experience at all, you know, it helps.
Classes.
Acting classes, yeah. Yeah, if you have those, yeah, in your neighborhood.
One of the things that I was amazed by, because I've always, like I said, grew up on stage and stuff, acting on stage and acting for camera, two completely different things. There's
right.
One, you know, you want to be as loud and as grandiose with your movements, and the other one, you just want subtle facial movements because it's a close-up of your screen, of your face filling up the whole screen, so every little thing is accentuated. Whereas at theater, nobody can see your face. They can tell what you're doing by your body language, and it's a completely different monster. Monster.
Monster?
So every class helps.
Yes.
And use the internet.
Monster.
It's really important to practice your art. The internet is wide open. Kids are making YouTube videos, and they're learning how to get in front of their fans, but they're doing it more today from the standpoint that they used to. When they were kids, they'd stand up on a soapbox and sing in front of people and fool around at family parties and get used to. Yes, I did. But the thing is that now they can monetize their videos, gauge their audience on YouTube and all, you know, the different services. They can go live on Facebook. They can make their own fan films. Cosplayers are, that's a great way also if you're a mind to, and that's the way to do it.
I've heard of this internet thing, yeah. I think it's going to catch on.
And get on incredible podcasts like Superhero Speak.
All right, so before we, you know, we got a little time left, but before we wrap up, anyone have any questions?
Get ready to beep this guy out. He looks like he's going to do a lot of profanity.
Well, I am without children for the second. Is there a process or something to go through to make yourself sound like a walker?
That's all Foley, so we don't actually make the noise is added in post. Now, we do make a lot of noise when we're doing it, but what you're hearing on screen is not really us. It's somebody else doing, a professional Foley artist in L.A. somewhere making our noises for us.
Okay. Yeah.
Good question.
How old were you guys when you guys started to act?
My first, I was in elementary school, so I think third grade was my first like thing that I did for school in front of people. I was in fifth grade when I got one of the leads in the high school musical, not the Disney show High School Musical, but our high school was doing a musical, and I got one of the leads as a fifth grader because they needed a kid who could sing and act, so I got that, and then every year after that. So I think third grade was my first time in front of actual people other than family.
You know, for me, that's kind of a tough question, but, you know, like, in elementary school and junior high and stuff, we had school plays and stuff, Christmas plays, musical plays, stuff like that, where, you know, I'd have a line or two, or even church Christmas plays and stuff. Like, I was always good at memorizing dialogue and stuff like that. So, that's kind of... I started young, probably 6 or 7 years old, and started with that type of stuff. And, you know, from then on, you know, as far as memorizing stuff, if I study a script with lines enough be able to memorize, you know, back and forth, to concentrate. So
for me, I did a few things in high school, but I didn't really get started until probably my early 20s. And now it's been some time later. We won't talk about how long, but.
Yeah, I was 7 years old when I was on the show Family Affair, and then it got made into a Broadway play, and I wound up doing that in New York. That was my first official job.
And that was 4 years ago.
Yes. I've grown since then.
Is that the one with Buffy and Jody and Mr. French and all that?
What's that?
Is that the Buffy and Jody show?
Yes. It ended in 71.
What cast member did you get killed by?
What was it?
I didn't hear. Was he asking about our tax information?
Did we get killed by? Let's see. It might be a shorter list if I list the ones I didn't get killed by. I have been killed by Rick, Daryl, Michonne, the governor, a bunch of the governor's men. I said Daryl. Let's see. Who else recently? Carol. What are some other cast members? Glenn has killed me more times than anybody. Maggie hasn't killed me. Okay, Maggie has not killed me. Carl has not killed me.
Father Gabriel.
Me. T-Dog never killed me. Yeah, none of them did. And some of the, said the governor's man. Who's the other? Oh, some of the Woodbury.
What?
Oh, no. No. Yeah, I've been killed by a bunch.
Well, you know, for me, I didn't, the highway scene, of course, nobody killed me, but as I said before, I was killed on episode 13 by Jimmy, which was best boyfriend at the time, and of course he got, you know, eaten in the RV by some walkers, and of course played by James Allen McCoon, that is now in the new Blair Witch film, so.
I never died unless I was killed in the firebombing of Atlanta, which I don't know because I'm dead.
No, I didn't die, but I still have the paper cut. And the cat. I still have the cat, too. I'll get revenge on that damn cat one day. But
to be continued.
Anyone else?
Sequel. Yes, in the sequel. The purring dead.
Okay, so I think a good question to wrap. We're getting out of time here, so good question to wrap it up on that I usually like to close on is: how do you measure success?
How do I measure success? Do I love what I'm doing, and am I happy doing it? If the answer is yes, then I'm successful.
Good.
I concur.
Oh, right.
can't beat that.
I
can't beat that.
Yeah.
That's why I go first.
I mean, yeah, Greg's absolutely right, and you know, you just got to stay after it. You have to stay after it. You have to keep submitting, and going forward. Because if you don't, it's not going to come directly to you all the time.
I agree with what they both said. I can't put it any better. They're wise men.
Me?
Yes.
You actually want to know my opinion on something?
Yes.
Because him and I are at odds, you know. We're going to do a Jell-O wrestling thing after this episode. So the question is about success. How do you measure success?
Yes.
In this industry, everybody can give you their opinions about measuring success, what they think is successful, whatever. But my bottom line is who do you work for? I work for my family. So I measure success by waking up every day and seeing them. That's my big thing. And I love looking at the fans. I'll come to any event. I'll come to the opening of an envelope just to come and meet people because that's what I enjoy the most. So. And a sandwich. I like sandwich. Let me ask you a question. What do you like on your sandwich the most? What's your favorite sandwich ingredient?
Mayonnaise.
How about you, Jeremy? You like mayonnaise? How about you?
Peanut butter.
I'm a turkey.
And mayonnaise.
I'm a turkey man, but then again, my wife calls me a lot worse.
Peanut butter and mayonnaise.
How about you? What do you like on your sandwich? Yeah, you. We're really worried about your opinion. What do you like on your sandwiches? Too late. How about you? What do you like on your sandwich? What'd you do?
Nutella.
How about you in the back, in the red? Don't say ketchup. That's too obvious. Oh, that's
turkey.
Cool. What do you like on your sandwich? There you see.
Nutella.
You with the ears, the big ears, the blue ears, not the one, not this guy here with the ears, but this one would be. You like rabbit on your sandwich? Is that what you said? You like rabbit? Coleslaw? Honey? Oh, see, that's a good one.
Yeah, it was
this is.
And mayonnaise.
Oh, Welsh rabbit?
Nutella fluff mayonnaise.
This has been another episode of Sandwich Theater.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. And
thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks.
Let's give them a hand. Now give them a foot. Yeah.